on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1. With Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day rugby league fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show and we're talking nothing but rugby league for the rest of the hour. The hello, rugby league is in the house, Leon Price.
Hello, hello there.
And he's alongside the general, Luke Robinson.
Good evening, Rob.
Don't jump the gun,
I know, mate. I jumped it, didn't I? Excited.
Very excited. The Four Nations are finished. New Zealand are no longer number one in the world. The universe sheds a tear. The entire universe. Loads on this evening, so let's get it on. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Evening, boys.
Good evening.
How you doing?
All good.
All good.
Yep. So, are you English again now that New Zealand are not number one?
Are you up cocker?
Yeah. just jump ship all the time.
Oh, 100%. Right? Whoever's... Well, actually, no. England's still three. They're still third, aren't they? So, I've got to watch who I'm supporting. I'm like, g'day, mate.
No, you can never
do that. Never do that. I would never do that. I'm not that guy. Interesting, we actually here on the radio show yesterday, we had Ewan, what's it called? The legal training. And basically, we spent an hour being told what we are and are not allowed to say on air. And to be honest, boys, the majority of what we say and how we say it is slanderous.
All right, okay.
Ewan, you just need to stay on the mute button and just mute.
Luckily, it's not our show.
What we say, you know what I think is quite weird is this country is so tribal. So the way people talk in Yorkshire to the way people talk in Surrey, for example, there's, you know, colloquialisms up here that means something completely different in the other part of this country. It's not like that in New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand just speak one type of English. New Zealand.
It's not real English, is it? You can't tell us how we speak.
But I don't know what you mean. I surely can.
I was just about to say a word then, but yeah, it makes two different things. I don't know if you hear the word tup, it means something totally different in Lancashire than it does in Yorkshire. And I found that out when I was a kid, when I was about 16.
Are we allowed to say
it? No, probably not.
No. That wasn't on the list. I never saw a tup on the list.
One's an airport, one's been something else.
Don't say it. It sounds bad.
Say the thing, what it means, the nice thing. Because I've never heard
of
the nice thing.
The nice thing's a headbutt over this way.
A headbutt?
Yeah. So, you know, if you took...
That's not a nice thing.
If you took someone...
the nice thing. Oh, it's a headbutt.
No, but the nice
thing. That's a Yorkshire mentality, that. Isn't that through and through? Oh, the nice thing. Yeah, it's a fool. It's a nice thing. It's a headbutt.
Everyone headbutts the mate now and again. It's a sign of affection.
Oh, I got to admit, there's so many words that actually Ofcom have come out with that I've never heard before. I've never heard it in a context. I'm not going to say it on air because there was something that popped up yesterday and everyone kind of stared at me and I said, well, what's that?
This highlights the problem of this country is that we're far too bothered about all these... silly little things like in France you don't care, there's no what's the word
political correctness.
No, yeah, that was one of them. And another, when you've got to go to a work site, you've got to have helmets on and
health and safety,
political PC. It's just, I think it's just a mark of this country. The
world's gone wrong. Your world's gone mad.
Just relax and let's say whatever we want to do.
Do you not think they're social media, Leon? You're all over social media right now.
Yeah,
Leon's phone ran out of power. So he stole someone's
charger
from the office.
He had a heart attack, didn't he? Running around office.
So nervous.
I've got no phone.
Leon, you come limping. You come sort of dragging your knuckles into the studio tonight. Me and Robbo are giggling at you because obviously Robbo's retired now. He's sitting behind a desk all day and keeping his feet nice and warm. So am I. Leon, you're into your last preseason of all time. How are you travelling, buddy?
Fantastic.
No, but honestly... Because I don't know if he's going to go into it now, but he went into this big rant about preseason training. Look at him, he's shaking his head. I'm not going to get you into trouble just because you're 34 years of age now, going on 35, and it's
35,
not easy.
I'm 35.
You're 35 now.
Yeah, I'm 35 now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. October the 9th. It's just tough. We were up at quad six this morning, and then I've just got in here about half an hour ago. So. It's pretty tough.
Long cold days as well.
Do you know what? Like you're saying, I've retired, but we're down to the bare bones. So I'm actually joining as the nine for Huddersfield at the moment.
No way.
I am. But luckily for me, I've got like the perfect thing. Yeah. Don't do the fitness, just do the skills. Beautiful, mate.
You see what's coming
out. I've been looked after. I've been pretty good. Rowan's good with the injured guys. Obviously, I'm a little bit older, played a lot of games, so I'm getting quite a little bit of leeway.
You're the over-30s club.
I'm over 35s.
One of your teammates actually said to me that Leon's ripping the roof down at this point in time with training. He said he's really impressed.
1 week.
1 week.
Anybody can last 1 week.
In 1 week.
No,
But he said when offered the chance to join that over 35s club that you're in on your own in that team, you actually turned it down a couple of times and decided to train.
Because I've been sat on the couch for 6 weeks doing nothing, Robert, and if I don't start training, I will be playing prop when I come back.
I didn't want to say it, but that backside has been growing
bigger and bigger.
You look like Joe Vaganasing.
So, yeah, it's not going too bad. It's the last one. I keep on telling myself it's the last one. Just get yourself through it.
Hey, Robbo, they also said, like, Leon's been turning up to training, saying, look, boys, I've got five Super League rings and dropping those bombs
get
in there.
Not yet. I'm not brought that yet.
Hey, you guys should listen to me. Hey, someone go give me a coffee.
I know that he's turned up like Del Boy Trotter with a little pop-up store with all his freaking nature gear, flat cap on, trying to sell them all everything.
Step up.
No, not yet, boys. It's coming, though.
It's coming. It's coming. Robbo, Big Earl's retired. Mm. That's a bit of a shock.
Yeah,
he's probably not big. He's just long, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's the long. Big long. He's retired, but he's gone up into the top office.
Yeah, he's gone into the administration side. I'm not sure who's boss. Is he mine or am I his? I'm saying I'm his still. I've always been his boss, so I'm his. But no, obviously, probably Leon's gone a little bit against the grain here. But you know, 9 times out of 10. Players that play for a vast majority of the years are the ones that come into it a little bit later on. I liken us to a car. There's only so many miles you can do. You know,
so many tackles, so many runs.
And JP, you know, he went for a long time, but he didn't actually play Super League then. You know, me and Leon were when you're 16, 17, 18, 19 playing. So he put the years on the back end of his career. The front, I suppose the difference with Leon, who's bucking the trend a little bit, but then again, he didn't tackle, so... Yeah.
I played half the career on wings, making 2 tackles a game. I saved a lot of energy there.
But Earl's also one of those players, because he's so big. You know what it's like when you're running with the ball. Put the ball under your arm, and you don't really see the individuals. You just see the size of them. And and that's why, Robbo, when you were playing hooky, you made 4,500 tackles in the first half. It's because you just see the shapes and sizes of people, and you run at the smallest one. Well, Earl being 6'12", he's never made as many tackles as you have. In the same amount of
time. It's hard to work in middle and go hardcore, taking carries against guys.
It's not hardcore. They get rests as
mental?
Well.
Are you mental? Whenever Big Earl carries ball, everybody's lining up to smack him.
I was just going to say the same thing. He has literally got a target on his head.
Every single time.
Every time I played with him, the sort of opposition pack make a massive emphasis on just knocking him out. Because they think if you knock him out, we're not the sort of the big figurehead of the... He has got a big head. Big figurehead of the team. And he's always had a target in his head, so he's already been rough and ready in the middle.
All right. We love you, Big Earl. We're going to get you back on the show sometime in the future. You can tell us how your new job's getting on. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be pulling apart the Four Nations final and England Rugby League. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
You're welcome back to the RHP show, looking at all the sports hottest topics, and we'll be covering and pulling apart the Four Nations also, and especially looking at England's chances for next year's 2017 World Cup. Before I go any further, though, I do want to still stay on Huddersfield Giants. Robbo, part of the setup there with the coaching staff, you've not made a lot of signings during the off-season. Just recently, Lee Gaskell, Paul Clough from Bradford Bulls. Good signings for you guys. You know, Paul Clough been there, done that, played with the big St. Helens fans. Leon, did you play with Paul?
Clough.
Been there. Were you there when Gaskell was there as well?
I played at Saints with Gaskell and Clough.
All right, there you go. So, two talented players. But Rick Stone still... I think he's suggesting that he's still not finished with the recruitment and what he wants to do. But you guys have a pretty full roster, which is the legacy left over from Paul Anderson and the signings he made.
Yeah, you know, this is where it becomes difficult for rugby league coaches, because I don't think he's saying he hasn't finished. I don't think he's ever had the ability to start. Yeah. You know, within football, for example, if Man United brought in a new coach, they could literally sack the whole team, pay them up, do whatever they want, pay agent fees and bring in a whole new team in.
Because they have the resources.
Because they have the resources, they have the financial backing. Whereas in rugby league, it's not that easy. You know what? Mm-hmm. When you were sort of, when you go into a team, you adopt whatever players that you've got, and you've got to do the best with what you've got. And I think Rick's no different, really, and myself being part of that this year, you know, it's a little bit of an eye-opener for a player. And it's, as a coach, I think Leon said it before, you want to instill your philosophies and ideologies on how you want to play and bring in players that fit into that mould. But then it's quite difficult because sometimes they're not your players for the next 1 or 2 years. That's
especially when he'll be judged next season on those players playing.
Yes,
I
think that's the point. I think sometimes you've got to give probably an 18-month grace period for some coaches to actually really stamp their authority on the team. Look, if we do better than we did last year, then they'll have to get a lot of credit because we've got very similar players.
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot of credit for that.
Interesting. Looking at your potential spine of your team for 2017, Bruffy, Ryan Brearley, Lee Gaskell, how will that triangle work?
Yeah, that's another. It's a
They've
bit.
Got to compete to earn their position, I
a
guess.
A little bit, yeah.
Who's going to be standoff? Lee Gaskell has played fullback. Brearley, you've had him playing fullback. Bruffy will probably consolidate it in the halves, especially after the fantastic Four Nations that he had.
I just think, you know, sometimes thinking about his point, Robbie, is as well, in pre-season, sometimes coaches can go away from what they need to do. So they think, it's pre-season, we need to do fitness. But if you've got three new halves to get together and mould, you've got to make sure you use them months to get them combinations flowing as well. It's no good doing loads of fitness, getting to halfway through January, and then start doing your rugby skills and realise that you're behind on your combination stuff, because then you play and you're all out of sync, and then you've spent 3 months of fitness and no work on what you really need to do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important when you get new halfbacks that the coaches don't leave it too long before they start working on the combinations.
Well, it's interesting you make that point, Leon. It's because in the final segment of the show, we're going to be discussing halfbacks in particular. All three of us are halfbacks. All three of us have played at International Rugby League, and we're going to pull apart what England Rugby League potentially needs to do to improve themselves. But we can come back to this point in regards to the halves combination, having time on the ball together. Because I think this is what you're trying to point out there. So, Robbo, how do you see that coming together? What plans have Huddersfield got? Because all three of these players that we've just mentioned are actually quite exceptionally talented athletes in their own right. But it's like Leon's just described, it's getting them to bond together, create synergy with one another and complement one another.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Look, you've got three extremely good players, and it's going to be a little bit of, look, whoever trains the best and performs the best in the friendlies is going to get the first opportunity. And things change throughout the year, but, you know, like I said, whoever trains the best will get the first crack of the whip. But it isn't just about filling the team with best players. It's about who complements, as you said, who complements each other. You know, sometimes you have you can go old school where you have a bit of a scrum half. I suppose like Leon and Longy was, you know, you had an old school standoff who were a bit of a runner, should we say, who can ball play. Longy with a dictator, and, you know, they bounced really well off each other, I thought.
Good balance.
And that's what we've got to try and find. We've got to try and fit, work out which of the three players work best with each other.
So what you're pointing out, and Leon kind of confirmed, was Leon was bossed around by Longy.
I did.
Is that what you're saying?
I said, Longy, you do your stuff. Because if I told Longy what to do, he wouldn't speak to me and he'd do what he wanted to do anyway. So I'd never boss him around. I said, Longy, you're a general. Do your thing. When you're ready for it, just give me the ball and I'll do the rest.
And to be fair, I think Longy's one of the greatest players I've ever played against.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people sometimes forget how good he was.
Class. Yeah, actually, when I think about it from that point of view, there's probably one halfback that I rated above all others.
Yeah.
And, I was a bit disappointed that Longy didn't get the opportunity at international more. He had quite a few injuries at international level.
I think if you spoke to him really open and honestly, it'd be probably something he regrets now. I think the attitude around playing for England and Great Britain wasn't the greatest at the time. All as right. in, like, you know, club. I think club level were quite quite more important.
They were used were quite intense over in St. Helens, eh? You really identify with Saints.
Yeah. I think at the club level was far more important sometimes than the national level. Not far more important, I think playing the brand of rugby that we like to play wasn't always rectified at Great Britain level. I think he didn't like the system, playing sided wasn't his thing. He liked to be on the ball, always on the ball. I think a lot of times he played out of the system that he didn't like.
Okay, well, the million-dollar question is then, Robbo, you've got the halves, you've got two players that could potentially play fullback and add that halfback element that Darius Boyd has, that ball player ability, you know, quick hands on the back of what the other two players set up and create. Who's going to be your hooker? That was a position that you made your own. You're exceptionally good at it, an international quality hooker. That is something that, you know, potentially, from the games I saw in 2016, you lacked a little bit of leadership in that part of the field.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, we brought Ryan Hinchcliffe in, who's come from a great system at Melbourne Storm, and you know what, he took the captaincy up and were great, you know, especially in his first year, very daunting.
But I understand he's not a hooker, natural hooker.
He's not.
He's a loose forward.
He's a loose forward and
he looks
can
like
play
one,
hooker.
And that's how he plays.
And he does, and I think if you asked him, he'd probably, but for us at this moment in time, there isn't that many hookers about. You can't just basically go and grab one now and put him in. So we have got him. We've also got Cruz Lehman, a local Halifax lad, one of my
Siddle
lads.
But he's young.
He's only very young, but this pre-season looks like he's matured.
All right.
Which is could
Are
be
you a, personally working with him to develop his skills?
I am, mate. I've been working on him for about 12 months, but basically this year I think you're going to see him play bigger minutes and play extremely well.
Oh, it's good to know what's going on at Huddersfield. I think there's a little bit of a different air coming out of the Huddersfield camp for 2017. So all the best for you and your pre-season, Robbo. We're going to take another break now, and when we come back, like I said, we're going to pull apart this year's Four Nations and looking in detail at the England future. Well, that and more, so stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the General Luke Robinson. And me, Leon, and Luke are a little bit nervous right now because Jakey the Mus has grabbed the powers behind the tables. He's doing all the knobs and pushing all everything on. And look, to be honest, if you heard us while the adverts were on, that's all Jakey's fault. While Leon was, slagging off all his old best mates from all around the Super League. Anyway, we said that we'd pull apart the Four Nations final and have a look at England Rugby League. So let's talk about it. Robbo, you watched it on TV. Leon, you were there. What are your thoughts on the final itself, boys?
I was there for the first half. The game was over after maybe 10 to 15 minutes.
3 minutes.
Yeah. realistically, I would say 15 minutes. Half time, I went home, went out to watch the second half in the pub with my friends. Because it was game over. It was game over.
Yeah, but you went out at half time.
Yeah.
You went home. And it takes, how quickly did you drive on the motorway from Liverpool?
We're on a team bus for West Bowling. The full West Bowling team were going, families, kids.
Yeah.
So we had to wait for them to come out of the stadium before we met them.
Oh, so you went to a pub?
Just outside the Anfield,
Anfield.
I was just had a board. It was just boring, Robert. We wasn't supporting Australia. There wasn't many fans there that were Kiwis. There was no atmosphere.
New Zealand scored twice in the second half.
Yeah.
The whole stadium erupted.
The whole stadium wanted New Zealand to win. So when they scored that early try, and then when Sean Johnson tried the flick pass at the back of his back right hand, but it went too far behind the winger, they picked it up, went 60 metres, made a couple of tackles, then scored. I thought, oh, no, that's it. Game over. Yeah, finished.
That was it. If New Zealand were going to get back into the game, it was that, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And to be fair, ever since that, I've seen David Kidwell get absolutely smashed. New Zealand coach, Richie Barnett's come out, and he used to play at Hull.
Yep.
Yeah. He played London a bit.
Well, yeah, Barnett has a go as well.
He's just come out and just basically called for pretty much all to be called, pretty much get rid of them all, get rid of coach, get rid of captain, just get rid of all them players, and just basically said that they've gone from number one to rubbish. And I think
Richie Barnett and Kitty were teammates.
Yeah, well, I think from what I can gather, especially on social media and everyone, all the ex-pros that have come out, a lot of it's around his selection around the halfback position. Obviously, we knew Luluai got injured.
Yeah.
What the kid they brought in was a back rower.
Tohu Harris.
Yes, they brought Harris in as a back rower.
Punished.
And basically, Australia did the homework and went, were going to spot him
it
around scrums.
It was just too easy.
They basically just exploited his lack of pace, didn't they?
Well,
they
you would, wouldn't you? The guy's a big second row, and he stood at the base of the scrum while they're feeding the ball, and Darius Boyd just steps up and just does a foot race.
I wouldn't mind.
Pure.
Oh, is that the first try?
That was the first try.
I wouldn't mind, but
him.
They scored the same try last week against England against what Callum Watkins' side. Got the ball from back to him. Try. At least you've watched it on video. You know they've watched it on video.
Give yourself a chance, man.
Come on. If they're scoring the exact same try 2 weeks on trot, you know how much video I've done in a week. You know you're not doing something right.
So Kidwell was saying that New Zealand's errors beat them. They did 7 in the first 20 minutes, and that's going to kill you.
They were poor, Robbie. They were very, very
playing
poor.
Playing against that Australian team.
England would have given them a better game.
To be fair, they've dropped all tournament. They've dropped a lot of ball. I think
they have. Yeah,
especially
they have.
In Scotland,
and I think this is why he's coming under that sort of pressure. Because apparently, by all accounts, they had a really good tour, so they didn't stay anywhere longer than 3 or 4 days. So, one of the big problems with New Zealand in the past is that the boys get bored. They get bored sitting in the same hotel for 5 weeks. So, what they did a bit of a tour. So, kids, and there were a lot of young players. They've never been to England, so they stayed in Edinburgh. They went down to London, Liverpool, so they could do all the touristy things and keep themselves fresh. I think that was a positive thing. But in the long run, maybe they just needed to spend more time with one another as opposed to being distracted, because looking at the way they performed over the course of those 4 weeks, they looked disjointed.
It's a positive thing for your social life and your memories and your photo album, but do you know what I mean? You've come halfway around the world to win rugby games, to see Edinburgh Castle and then go down to see, I don't know, Millennium Stadium in Cardiff or go wherever else. But I do get your point. You know.
That's the problem, though, isn't it? This is always what happens. If you're going to do things that are a little bit different, you've got to play well or win. If you're going to go for a beer on a Tuesday night and you're going to play on a Friday, if you win, nobody mentions it. If you lose, you went for that beer Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with this sport. If you're going to do things that's a little bit outside the box.
It's a problem with all things.
No,
if you change ritual and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes. I'm just saying, my point is this. If you do something a little bit outside the box, you've got to win or play good. That's it.
I do understand the thing about being bored. That I came back, I got married after I'd been in England, in New Zealand. I was fat. Because all you do is wait around the hotel room. You finish your breakfast and 30 seconds later you go, what time? You're doing nothing. You just train and eat.
But then when you come down for your dinner, you have like double portions. Yeah. Start a main dessert. And then you come down for a snack about an hour later.
I mean, there's such a selection on. You've got to try everything.
It's awesome.
I just thought, when I'm at home, when would I have soup before I have my dinner? And then jelly and ice cream. It doesn't happen.
With a mountain of food.
And then you ask the question, don't you? What time supper?
Yeah, you do.
When do you have supper? What time supper?
So for ladies and gentlemen, for you guys at home, so the way the food is served in camp, so to speak, is they bring basically these big trays of food out. And so where at home, your wife or, you know, if you're serving your own portions, you'd have one piece of fish or one piece of chicken or one steak. Here, you can actually sit there and you have two or three, don't you?
Absolutely.
And you just start doubling it up.
I'll tell you what, though, I was watching England's progress through their tour, and they were in some fancy restaurants. They must have got some good money looked after by RFL. They're in Gordon Ramsay's kitchen and all these places.
You mean the players themselves?
The players, for their team feed on a night time, usually we stay in the hotel. Yeah. A lot of their feeds were out together, socialising together.
Ooh.
But they looked...
Is that the reason for their performances?
No. It looked like it's gone up another level compared to when us fast.
Okay, let's get this out in the open. What makes Aussie so good? Why are they so good?
They live and breathe the game, don't they? We play in the north of England, and I know that our population in this country is humongous compared to the Australian population, but that's pretty much just London. We play in the north of England, that is it. You know what I mean? So the pool of players that we've got to pick from.
The talent pool.
The talent pool is just so much smaller. And that's, you know, that's not taking anything away from the great junior clubs. You know, West Bowling and Siddle do a fantastic job. It's just that when I go and speak to Rick Stone about the Newcastle Knights set up and the infrastructure junior clubs around there, they have sometimes like five teams, age groups in one team.
And
Siddle would have five under sevens or five under eights.
The reason for that is that it's from popular culture point of view, NRL stars are pop stars. They are front page magazine.
Wayne Rooney's.
The biggest of
Wayne
the big.
Wayne Rooney's,
so
David Beckham's.
Kids aspire to be like them. So it's not only talent pool size, it's also talent pool quality.
Of course, like Leon, I'll tell you, when you play in this, when you up in this country, you play football at dinner time.
Exactly.
You play football at break time. When you get home, you play football with your mates. You might occasionally play rugby then for 10 minutes until one of the lads cries because he's soft on the other side of the street. Yeah. So then you go back to playing football again. And that's just how it goes throughout your whole
entire... Everybody in this country is an aspiring football player or could have been a football player. Or we all just love football, don't
to
we?
To be honest, when I first came over here and then we had a bit of a kickabout, I couldn't believe the skills...
Of everyone.
And that's why you guys used to relegate me to goal. Robbie, go stand in goal.
Kiwis or Aussies, get over that sort of
thing. Even Paul Anderson, that big thing, you know, the big slow thing on the rugby pitch... Could make me
kick a ball.
Oh, mate.
That's just life.
Do you remember Leslie?
That's
spot. The first time Leslie goes to play, he twists his ankle. He's out for 4 months. It's not funny then, but it was hilarious now.
We used to be Salford before as Christmas, too. We always used to go playing football. Now, anyone knows Kyle Harrison? He's a mad. Him and Jimmy Lowe's mad Leeds fans out there.
Yeah.
He used to turn up every year full kit, and basically we argued about teams anyway. It went disastrous. He stormed off, didn't speak to us for a week. We got off training for a week just because we didn't pick football teams quick enough.
All right, Jake, he's pointing towards me. He's not giving me the same signals as Ewan does. He needs to work on his signals, but we're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have a look at in detail at the one big question mark that England Rugby League had over the course of this Four Nations, and that was the halfback pairing and partnership. So stick with us after the break, and we'll be back with more on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and we're continuing on with discussing all things rugby league. This is the final segment, and you know, I want to have a look at the one area that we discuss throughout the duration of the Four Nations, who their halfback combinations were going to be. Was it going to be Kevin Brown and Luke Gale and Gareth Widdop, George Williams thrown in there as well? George Williams had the French game. For you guys, tell me, who perform best? Robert, I'm gonna you're not allowed to talk about Kevin Brown because he's a close friend of yours, so you have to talk about everyone other than Kevin Brown. Leon, you can talk about whoever you want, but what combination worked for you guys the most, because basically all of them were trialed.
I don't think that from what I watched, I don't think George Williams was given enough chance to play when he played against, was it France? He played, seemed to play well. He only played for 20 minutes. Oh, I said he played the full game that game. I think he looked the most dangerous. I was reading an article by John Wilkin, which is quite a good point, really. It was saying that Matty Smith has led Wigan to Wigan to the Super League this season, and George Williams has been the form six. So why not play Smeags at seven, George at six? You know, it's a combination that works at club level. So obviously take that into international level. Mm-hmm. You've already got your six and your seven in line and in sync of how they've been playing for club level.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was quite a good point, really. Quite a valid point.
Yeah. And Smith played quite well in the international series against New Zealand last year, didn't he?
Yep.
Great kicking game. Look, we all know he's limited in his ability to be an explosive, running player. But his kicking game and his organisational skills are supreme.
Makes,
and I think maybe, Robbo, it anchors into what you were talking about they not necessarily have to be the best team, but they have to create synergy and complement the team and players around them. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're going back to a little bit your point of what we made last week, the fact that Cooper, Cronk, Thurston, they all play together.
Darius Boyd, Cameron Smith. That's the spine of the Queensland team,
and
isn't
they have
it?
That understanding, like that synergy that you're speaking about. And yeah, it's really difficult to create that, you know, within a few weeks, especially when you're swapping partnerships. You know, it's a little bit like you were saying about the Huddersfield halfbacks. You know, whatever we go with originally, we need to give a few weeks. You can't just basically, that's one thing that I learned from Nathan Brown. He says, look, you can swap your team around in difficult times, but you don't swap your hookers and your halves.
Never.
Unless you really, really have to. He says, you want that is, the sort of diamond formation is what you want consistency within. And that's where it becomes really difficult for us as a nation when we don't, you know what, they have we're going back to old points, but they have their origin, we don't, and we don't get that chance to play together much before the internationals come around.
Mm-hmm. Speaking as a six, I'm somebody who only started playing standoff later on in my career. I'll be honest now, like my best years of me playing and best playing in my competition was playing as six alongside Sean Long. And we just had this feeling, this natural organisation where Long he'd organise. I'd say, Long, you get the ball, you do what you want, do your thing, organise, run the show. I'll just float in and out of the game. I won't be at a side, I'll come in at dummy half, I'll run when I need to. You take the line on, pass the ball, and when you're ready and you don't want the ball, just give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that we had that feeling and we had that understanding.
Sixth
and that
sense,
worked.
Like
it just it worked. It just worked. It worked for us both. It worked for Longy because he could take control.
And that's and it when it becomes world class. I mean, Henry and I had that sort of feeling with Jimmy.
And I struggled. After Longy left, and I went to Catalans. Scotty Giroux was very, very good. I had a good understanding with him. But them 4 or 5 years I had with Longy were easily the
best
of my
career. Do you not think that Kieran Cunningham and
Longy?
No. The other hooker for Saints, legend.
Roby.
Do you not think that they played their part and Wallow out the back as well?
Yeah, everything.
That diamond was so consistent for that St. Helens
massively,
team.
And they're all world-class players as well. Paul Wellens, Kieran Cunningham, James Roby.
So maybe it stretches beyond that.
It does. Look, I'm talking to Roby as a player. I'm talking to me as my as I felt as a standoff at my best years of enjoying playing halfback alongside a good seven and dominated. Because I played out the back, remember. Longy played first receiver, I was second. Yeah. So sweeping across the field, that's how I felt. I just think that club level combination, if you can take that to international like Queensland do, if you can take something from Super League into international level, you've already got a chance.
The problem that we have is we don't have them sort of warm-up games. I keep going about Yorkshire, Lancashire. We don't have them warm-up games to actually work out who his best pairing is.
Mm-hmm.
It's only international, like Wayne Bennett's thing. He's basically trialling them all and working out what's best while the tournament's going on, and I just think that's too late. We're already behind the eight ball.
Okay. So for me, the most dynamic halfback that's played Super League over the last 2-3 years is an Englishman who's been playing for Scotland. Scotland is a tier two nation. You know Bruffy quite well. If he was given the opportunity to represent England, do you think he would?
I'm sorry to jump in here, but in that, a sign of Bruffy should be playing for England now because he would have been playing 3 years ago, but they told him that he wasn't first choice, it was going to be Rangi Chase and somebody else. Is that right, Robbo?
Yeah.
If they wouldn't have said that to him and said, listen, no matter what happens, these guys are my first two halfbacks, Bruffy would be playing now, and Bruffy is the best six in the competition,
and
he would be playing. But that's what I was trying to say. England is not a team, it's about form. You know, pick the players in form that match best for your team.
But that's the difference. That's the opposite of what Mal Meninga's created. He's created a team, and he's built that team around the spine of that team.
When you've got players that
unit.
Good.
I mean, they are that good, but they're different because Aussie has always been good, but they are frighteningly complementing one another.
They were ridiculous.
I think they're quite dangerous for the rest of the world, no matter how good we get, because he's got them singing from the same hymn sheet like no Australian team I've ever seen has done before. What Australian teams have done before in the past, so they've been brilliantly good individually, but now they're brilliantly good collectively. I think that's what's scary about them.
Can we get a repeat of this from a few weeks ago when Robbie said, I don't think Australia are that good at the moment.
Yeah. Next week,
they just don't sound. Just get it back up.
But they were growing as a team.
Like, I get what you mean.
So they eventually got to their game against New Zealand, and the click happened. But against New Zealand, for example, they couldn't put them away. They did have a different halves pairing though. They had Michael Morgan in there and Thurston, which I think he's trying to. That's the future.
I think I actually agreed with you, Robbie, so I'm only joking, man. But you know, I think what they've done is they've sort of created a little bit of a club mentality.
Yeah.
Although they're international and they are the best national team in the world, somehow it feels like a club where you're all in it together.
Is that what they need to do for England then? And how can they do that with Wayne Bennett plying his trade on the other side of the planet?
Good question. I'm not sure I can answer that one.
Well, Robbie, you're in the coaching setup. How would you do it? How would you approach it? If you had to create a different type of culture, a culture that's ruthless, a culture that is winning, how could you do that by only getting those guys collectively together every now and again?
I'd create a full-time England coach who's based over here.
He's throwing it out there.
I would have regular training camps throughout the year, which would peeve off a lot of clubs and a lot of club coaches that they're going to take him away. But either that, or you create Yorkshire Lancashire setups where you're getting the boys together at certain times.
How do you do that, but still have the mastery of Wayne Bennett behind you? I think that's where New Zealand's benefited. New Zealand's had Steve Kearney had Wayne Bennett as a mentor, stood behind him saying, you look at that, look at this, and just adding probably the little touches, not doing the bulk. Steve Kearney has done the bulk, but having that sort of mentorship, and maybe David Kidwell needs that. You're not going to put a mentor behind Wayne Bennett. But
maybe at some point we just say, listen, let's give another English guy a go. Let's give Sean Wayne or someone else, just give him a go.
Would he be the right person? Dennis Betts?
Daryl Powell. Daryl Powell's probably the best English coach for me at the moment. Give him a go. Mm. He's done wonders with Castleford.
I think there's a team that we're talking about synergy, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, there's a team that actually, they on paper, you wouldn't expect them to be as competitive as they've been over the last couple of years.
No, absolutely not, especially with their budget and with the teams that they're competing against. For me, Daryl Powell is the best English coach out there by far. And give him a chance.
And not only that, he's created international players.
Absolutely. Players that have also been at top for Albert Goldthorpe medals, players that are getting in the team for the Super League Dream Team. You know, so for an English coach, I think he gets my backing at some point.
So we're into the last minute. What's the verdict? How do we develop these halves? How do we get these four halves complementing one another? 20 seconds.
Get more hookers and halfbacks as coaches. Done.
Ooh,
agreed. Easy. Ditto. I share that view.
And doing grassroots, or it has to... At the top, starting at the top.
From the bottom to the top, get more people in there that have done the job, understand that role.
Can't have prop forwards telling halfbacks how to play.
Well, they can, because they don't know how to.
I play six, you play prop. Don't tell me how to play halfback.
You'll never know. You don't know, and you'll never know.
Never.
All right. Well, that's it, boys. Thank you very much. Big thank you to wherever you are listening tonight. If you want to listen again, we'll upload the show to the website, pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, in about 10 minutes. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby.
Pool Show on Pulse 1, Wednesday evening from 6.